Well, here we are again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and thank you and God bless you for disciplining yourself and sitting down on purpose and studying and getting in your God's Word and finding out what He has to say and what He says is true and what is not true. We're getting back into our study of resurrection. This is study number 18A. And it's the second study in the letter R of the ABCs of Christian growth thus far. And we're talking about resurrection. What is resurrection? We're not talking about any specific resurrection, even though there are some specific resurrections that are going to be listed and have been listed in this study already and will be in the future. But we're talking about resurrection generally. Doctrinally, what does it mean? What is it? What is it? Well, in our first two studies, we briefly went over some facts concerning the Bible, and there's no sense in studying any subject unless you're going to find out what God says about it. Because if you're looking around in the world today, brothers and sisters, if you're looking around in the world today trying to establish truth on a matter, you're going backwards. Used to, you could go and find truth about a matter in the world, even from the worldly and from the unsaved, out of the Christian realm, Christendom, and you could find truth. Nowadays, I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't take the chance. I'd go straight to the scriptures to find out what the Bible says about every matter that I'm concerned about, that I want to know something about, what the truth of it is. Amen? And that's what you should do, too. The Bible tells us to do that. It tells us to consult God's Word, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Acknowledge Him. Bring the Lord in it. Ask the Lord. Get knowledge from the Lord concerning the matter. And He promises in His Word that He'll direct your path. And we just believe Him. Let's just believe Him. Believe Him because He says He's God, and He is, and that He has written down these things for us, that we can see them with our eyes and read them and trust them, and trust that there is a God that is powerful enough, and we know God's power. We've tasted of the heavenly gift, haven't we? Don't you know God is real? Don't you know that Jesus Christ, His Son, is real? Don't you know that God, the Holy Ghost, indwelling you is real? Don't you know that? You should. And the closer and the more confident you become in trusting in Him and living for Him and separating yourself completely from the world, piece by piece by piece, putting off the flesh, the lust of the flesh, and putting on righteousness, Christ's righteousness, and God the Holy Ghost teaching us and training us and conforming us into the image of God's Son, then we become more like Him and we believe Him. Talking about this matter of resurrection, we're going to the Bible for the truth. And that's what all that I was trying to say and get to, is that we're going to the Bible. We'll find out what resurrection is, because that's the only place to find out anything having to do with the truth. But we did talk about some interesting factors concerning what even the Bible has to say concerning the world and resurrection. The world still uses the word resurrection. They quit using it for a while. Remember we talked about that? We went over the definition of resurrection first, and I believe that was in our first study. And there were two. Out of all the definitions that I could come up with and all the sources that I could come up with them, all of them had two definitions that were fundamentally the same. You know, when you look up a subject, you can find anywhere from 1 to 20 or 30 different definitions of the word, depending on what it is. But resurrection had quite a few, but there were two of them that were mentioned in every single one of them. And whether it claimed to be a Christian dictionary or from a Christian background, or whether it was just any old dictionary, whatever kind of dictionary you want to call it, all of them had one thing in common. two mentions of what resurrection is in two different factors. One of them was the rising again of Jesus Christ from the tomb 3 days after his death. Every one of them said that. Now, I don't know if there's any pagans or any unbelievers or anybody that had anything to do with publishing a dictionary or this, that, and the other, but every single one of them had Jesus Christ rising from the dead in it. Now, if there's no such thing as resurrection, why is it mentioned in every dictionary there is? I'm sure you could find one nowadays in 2024 that it's been taken out of, surely. But in every one of the ones that I read out of, it said the rising again of Jesus Christ from the tomb 3 days after his death. Now, that's interesting in itself, isn't it? We're talking about definition, talking about resurrection just in a general form. It's interesting that the entire world, when they go to look up resurrection, one thing they're going to find is Jesus Christ's name in there concerning rising again from the tomb after 3 days after his death. Another one was a rising again from the dead of all humankind at the last judgment. That's interesting in itself also concerning resurrection, because every man on this planet can go to a dictionary. Most dictionaries, I've not seen one without this stuff in it, but they can go to a dictionary and they can see that there's a rising again from the dead of all humankind at the last judgment as a definition of resurrection. And whether people know doctrinally about resurrection in the scriptures and what the scriptures actually say concerning their resurrection and their standing before a judgment, they can read it in a dictionary on this planet right now and have been for hundreds and hundreds of years. That's interesting. You know, other definitions was to cause to become alive again, return from the dead, arising again, chiefly the revival of a dead human, of a human race. A revitalization or revival of something, the act of or fact of bringing something back to life. We talked about the resurrection, and there are definitions worldwide concerning resurrection in every language. That's interesting. Now, before we even get spiritual or get into the spiritual portion of the lesson, or the doctrinal portion of the lesson, the practical portion of the lesson teaches us that everybody in the world knows about resurrection in one way or another. In one way or another, it's on their mind. We even talked about, I don't know if it was the first lesson or the second lesson, we talked about that I had found a graph, and that graph went from 1800 to 2019, and it's a graph concerning how population used the word resurrection from 0 to 100% in society. Excuse me, my throat's a little scratchy today, and I don't know why, but I don't mean to cough in your face. But isn't that interesting also that there'd be a graph? And I don't know how they did it. I don't know if it was polls or whatever it was that they could graph how many people use the word resurrection. It's kind of scary in a way that they know how many people say what words. Isn't that interesting? But besides all that, the word resurrection. For instance, in 1800, it was on up there. Society was using the word resurrection. It was found in society and in language. And then it rose and rose and rose all the way up to about 1850 and started a decline. And it fell all the way through 1900, all the way down to about 1940. And it bottomed out right there, and society was barely using the word resurrection. And then it began another incline. And it gradually went up a little bit through 1950, 1960, 1970, and in the 80s or somewhere around in that period, it began a substantial incline. And it got almost back up to halfway what it was whenever they begin it, stopping in 2019. Now, this is 2024. Just showing that society used the word resurrection, quit using it, and it's starting to use it again for some reason. I know what the reason is, don't you? Because it's on their mind. Resurrection's on society's mind, whether they admit it or not, or whether they defile the Lord's name and defile His word, and whether they deny Him and everything else. It's on that mind. It's on that mind. Moving right along and recapping just a little bit more, we talked about there were seven different resurrections in Scripture. Did you know that? You know it now. You knew it then when we studied it. Did you go back over it a little bit? I hope you did. I hope that when you're not doing anything, you ain't got nothing to do, you'll just plop yourself down and get your studies out and just recap over what we've been. And just the more times you read it, the more times it just nails it down. And God the Holy Ghost has it to help you with. And that's what you need to do, is read that word. But we talked about the resurrection. There's seven of them. The resurrection of some of the Old Testament saints' bodies after Jesus Christ's resurrection. During His resurrection. The Bible talks about that. There were resurrections of people coming out of the graves and walking back into the cities. And they left and went with the Lord Jesus Christ back during the ascension. The second one mentioned was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself from the dead. The third one was the resurrection of the Spirit in all men that have trusted Christ Jesus. That's considered a resurrection, being born again, raised from the dead. Your spirit was dead and it's alive now, alive unto God. Another resurrection is of all the New Testament saints' bodies yet to happen. All the New Testament saints' bodies during the rapture. We're waiting on that. That's what we're waiting on. Even so come, Lord Jesus, right? Another resurrection mentioned in Scripture, the fifth one, is the resurrection of all the tribulation saints' bodies just before Christ's second advent. There'll be another resurrection. All the people that have gone through the tribulation and the Jews and the Gentiles that are saved during the tribulation, and they suffer and they get decapitated and they die, their bodies will be resurrected just before the second advent of Jesus Christ, when we come back with Him and come down here to make war, the Bible says. The Lord's not coming here to see if anybody wants to fight. He's coming here to make them fight. He's coming to fight with them at the second advent. And then He's going to set up that millennial reign. The resurrection of the house of Israel back to God, right at the end of the tribulation period, just before the Lord comes back, they're going to see Him and they're going to accept Him finally. And finally, Israel corporately, as a son, Israel, is going to accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And Israel's going to be resurrected. All this matter that they've been through and all this suffering they've been down through since they said, let Jesus Christ's blood be upon us, right there before Pilate, just before they crucified Him. And they've been paying for it ever since. And they're still paying for it. And they still don't believe Jesus Christ the Messiah to this day. But they will when they see Him during the tribulation, the resurrection of the house of Israel back to God. A scripture in Ezekiel chapter 37. And then the seventh resurrection is the resurrection of the dead to the great white throne judgment. Now, brothers and sisters, that's not something we've got to be concerned about, with exception that we ought to be winning people to the Lord to avoid this thing. It's a terrible thing. You stand before this judgment, you're not going there to be judged, you're going there to be sentenced. You've already been judged if you stand before this judgment. You're judged and damned by God and will be cast into the lake of fire. This judgment is for you to stand before him and give account. And all the books are open. They're going to read all the things that you did in your life, and all the ways that you offended against the law of God and rejected Jesus Christ. And they're going to bind your hand and feet and cast you into the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I often wonder how come they're going to bind them hand and feet. And I think the main reason is that I can come up with is that they don't want to go. I wouldn't want to go, would you? Been rebellious your entire life and a God-hater and cussing God and living like the devil and all the devilment and not even trying to do anything for the Lord and or to help out him or anything like that. And you die in your sins. And then one day, the Lord wakes your body up. And you come out of hell and get in that body, and you go up there and stand before the Lord. And it's at the great white throne judgment, and you stand before God in all his glory and all his majesty and all his holiness at that resurrection. Called the great white throne judgment. That's a resurrection. That's the seventh one. All right, well, that's what we've talked about in our first two studies. Moving into today's study, we're going to open up a new section and talk about the doctrine of resurrection. The doctrine of resurrection. Well, what about it? Well, what about the doctrine of resurrection? Is it a doctrine? Indeed, it is. It is. And what we mean by doctrine is that it's necessary. It's vitally necessary. And that it is something that is crucial in the scriptures and taught as absolute truth and very important. Very important. And we're going to talk about some factors around the doctrine of resurrection. For instance, the first thing is that it's looked at. It's the doctrine of resurrection, it's looked for in faith. It's looked for in faith. If we look back in the scriptures, and we talked about, remember Saul? Saul, whenever he went to get Sam, that witch, to bring Samuel back up, he believed in resurrection. He believed in talking to the dead. The Bible says after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John and up into a mountain, was transfigured before him. And they seen Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah died. But they were standing right there. We just got through talking about the scriptures describing seven different resurrections to us. Either these things are so, and they are doctrinal, and they are meaningful to Christianity and to truth and to God's word and God's plan, or either they're not. And they are. We know they are. And that's why we're studying them. The doctrine of resurrection. Well, it's looked at, it's looked for in faith. Well, what do you mean? Well, listen to what Job says in chapter 19 of Job. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now, Job didn't have a Bible like you do. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, he was a practical man, wasn't he? He wasn't like all these fruitcakes out here today that think that, well, I ain't going to die. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to take my telephone and my casket, and I'm going to call y'all up. Yeah, mm-hmm. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So what's he saying there? He just got through saying that the skin, that his skin that he's wearing, that body that he's inside of wearing, is going to die, and the worms are going to destroy it. And then he turned right around and said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. What's he actually saying right there? He's saying, my body's going to come back up. I'm going to get it back. Resurrect. That's Job. And he said it by faith. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Job believed in it by faith. The doctrine of resurrection, it's looked for in faith. We believe it because that's what God teaches us in the Bible. And the closer you become to the Lord, and the more you learn about the Lord and about His Word, the more ridiculous it is to try to deny a resurrection. Isn't it? Isn't that the way you feel about it? Isn't it ridiculous for anybody to try to deny that there is going to be a resurrection for everybody? Now, people don't completely understand all the different dispensations in the Scripture and the way that resurrection is used and all the different resurrections that the Bible talks about. They might just think that there's one general resurrection, which we talked about before, but they do believe resurrection. What else? Well, the doctrine of resurrection is not only looked for in faith, but it is taught in the Old Testament. We just seen Job talk about it. He believed in resurrection. He said, if they bury me with a shovel, the worm's going to get me and eat my skin. And I mean, he was a common sense thinking fella. I mean, he done seen people die before him get put in the ground. We got nuts today that people are dying left and right and getting put right back, past a funeral, and in their mind just saying, I don't believe that. Well, it's taught in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19 says, "Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Now, either that is a complete and utter lie, and Isaiah is a nut, or either he was telling the truth, and we know he was, don't we? It's taught in the Old Testament, the doctrine of resurrection, that it is, that it exists, that it's something that God has power behind, and that God is the one that's in control of that. It's doctrinal. It's something you should believe, something that you can believe, and something that the Bible backs up for you to believe. Even the Old Testament. There's another one, Daniel. Not only Isaiah, but Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, listen what he says. "And many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." A dead person shining as the firmament. "And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." Now, some prophecy the Lord was giving Daniel. But he said that those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. You're not going to stay in that dirt. Your body's not going to stay there. It's coming back up. You don't even go to the grave if you're saved. You don't. You don't ever go in the grave. Your body does. If you die before the Lord comes to get us. If your body dies, but you go to be with the Lord, you don't ever go in the grave. But that body's coming out, and you're going to get it back. And it's going to be fashioned like unto Christ's glorious body. We shall be changed, the Bible says. The doctrine of resurrection, it is looked for in faith. It is taught in the Old Testament. What else? Well, the doctrine of resurrection, it is denied by the Sadducees. You always got the people that deny stuff. Let's say God's a nut, Casey. Hey, can't nobody come back from the dead. You ever seen anybody come back from the dead? The Sadducees were that way. Matter of fact, Paul used that to his advantage on one of his court dates he had with them. And the Sadducees were some of the hot shots that the religious people that didn't believe in the doctrine of resurrection. Matthew chapter 22, let me read it to you. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and ask him, saying, excuse me, Master, Moses said, oh, of course, they're quoting the Bible. Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, and unto the seventh, and last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? Now, these nuts don't even believe in the resurrection, and they're sitting here trying to trick Jesus and with these crazy questions they're asking him, but they get it, don't they? Whose wife shall she be in this, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. That tells you what marriage is. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. You see what we're studying and why we're studying it? You see where Jesus pointed this matter of resurrection? Get in the scriptures to find out what the truth is. That's what we're doing. You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, now Jesus is talking matter of fact right there. He's not saying, well, if there be a resurrection, or if you are wrong and there is a resurrection. He says, for in the resurrection, there is a resurrection. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. That's an interesting study in the ABCs about that, having to do with what people are like in heaven and what they're going, whether there's any marriage in heaven and stuff like that. I believe it's under in the study of family or the study of the Christian family, excuse me. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? God's not the God of the dead, but of the living. You know, and that's interesting in itself concerning the doctrine of resurrection. If there's no resurrection, then where is God's glory? Where's God's, where's his majesty? If nobody comes back from the dead, then God's only a God of the living until all of his creatures die and get buried and turn back to dirt. And then he's just the God of the dead. But he's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Because Jesus said, you don't know the scriptures, nor do you know the power of God. God can bring people back to life and bring bodies back to life. He did a whole army of them out in the desert one time, according to the Old Testament. Right in front of somebody. So, concerning the doctrine of resurrection, it's looked for in faith. It is taught in the Old Testament. And it's denied by a lot of people. Yes, of course, and still will be. And the more fruitier these nuts get, and the more blind they get, and the more wicked their minds get, and the more seared their consciences get, they're going to deny it even more and make fun of it and blaspheme it and everything and every chance that they get. But that doesn't make any, that doesn't make it untrue. It's denied by the Sadducees. Listen to what Brother Paul said in Acts chapter 23 concerning that matter. Just listen to this. This is what Paul says in, Acts chapter 23. It says, but when Paul perceived, this is where the Sadducees and all them bring him together, Sadducees and the Pharisees, and Paul's standing at trial in front of them, giving reason for him being there. And when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees, the big shots there, the officials, and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And when he had said so, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees said that there was no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confessed both. Paul used that to his advantage, didn't he? But Paul said that he was called in question for the hope that he had of the resurrection of the dead that he preached through Jesus Christ. Talking about doctrine. It's denied by the Sadducees. I mean, you can have a whole council of religious people standing up before you, trying you for believing in the resurrection of the dead, and half of them don't even believe in the resurrection of the dead. And half of them do. So they get to fist fighting. Remember that next time they bring you before the judges. But the resurrection of the dead, the doctrine of it, it was doctrinal then. I mean, it was a big issue. Paul just said one sentence, I'm called here in question about the resurrection of the dead that I hope in and believe in. And the whole court rose up in confusion. And it's been going on ever since, brothers and sisters. The doctrine of the resurrection is looked for in faith. It's taught in the Old Testament. It's not just New Testament doctrine. It's taught in the Old Testament. Resurrection. It's denied by the Sadducees and believed by some and not believed by others. What else? Well, it's affirmed by Christ. Anytime the Lord Jesus Christ confirms something and backs it up, we ought to believe him because he said it in his word and just take him at his word and that's it. But Christ affirmed it. He said in John, listen to what he said. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming into which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Wait a minute. You mean a cadaver that's half rotten and the worms are eating it? Or either dried up bones, just as dry as they can be, under 6 foot of dirt, under earth, can hear? According to Jesus Christ, they will. Marvel not at this. He said, don't be surprised at this. Don't be fooled. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. And they have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. It ain't over in the grave. This doctrine of resurrection spoils this matter of once you die, it's all over and blah, 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 da, 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 da. That ain't it. It ain't over. It ain't over. It's affirmed by the Lord. The Lord said, you're coming out of the grave. You're going to hear a voice. You're coming out of that grave. John chapter, that's good news to me. I don't know about you. It's good news to me, ain't you? That's good news to me. course, I'm going to be with the Lord anyway. I'll just be getting my body back. I don't want this stinking thing anyway. I'm tired of carrying this body around, ain't you? I'm ready for my new one. And I'm going to be with the Lord. And whatever it is that Paul said, that whether he was in the body or out of the body, and the Bible doesn't tell us specifically what that, and that's a whole different subject. But Paul's body was down there under a bunch of stones on the earth, and he got called up to the third heaven. And he said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I could not tell. So, I'm sorry about all this coughing and hacking and stuff. He knew he had arms, he knew he had legs, he knew he had a mouth, he knew he had eyes. But he couldn't tell whether he was in his body or not. He had something, but he couldn't tell whether it was his earthly body or not. So between the time that our body dies and goes into the grave, and we go to be with the Lord clothes us with something until we get our new bodies. We don't get our new bodies until the Lord comes back. And that's the ones that are coming up out of the grave and going to be changed. But we're going to have something on. Paul said, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. And he didn't say nothing else about it. So there it is. That's where it stands. But it's something. So John chapter 6, listen to what he says. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. It's the Lord Jesus. But should raise it up again at the last day. Man, how much more plainer can it get? And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. There's your promise. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, the Lord repeated himself how many times there saying that? He will? That's Jesus' promise right there. I will raise you up. I will raise him up at the last day. If we come to Jesus, believe on him, he said it, he explained it in detail. He said, the Father's will that sent me is that I don't lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him. This is God, the Father's will, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him, there you go, may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. It's that simple. That makes me have a smile, don't you? I'm glad about that. I'm glad Christ affirmed that he's going to raise me up. Can you imagine living in this body, in this environment, on this earth right now, in this dispensation that we're living in right now? Can you imagine living in this muck and then having no hope of no resurrection and no new body and nothing but just a grave to go to? No wonder 5-year-olds are hanging themselves. Yeah, and I didn't make that up. That's real. What else? Talking about the doctrine of resurrection. We're talking about the study of resurrection and what the Bible says. Is the doctrine of resurrection a real doctrine and a true doctrine? And is it something that's important? And is it something that the Bible teaches as truth and something that we should believe and follow and adhere to and teach others and wait for? Absolutely. It's looked for in faith. It's taught in the Old Testament. It was denied by the Sadducees and approved of by the Pharisees in one meeting, and all of them being together, and these were all the religious hierarchy. And they couldn't figure out whether people rise from the dead or not. Same thing today. It's affirmed by Jesus himself. Jesus said he's going to bring us back to life. He's going to bring these bodies back to life, and he's going to raise us up out of the grave, and that it was his Father's will that he do it, and he wants to do it, and he's going to do it. I believe him. Period. That's doctrine. That's Bible doctrine. Yes, T.V. Compton, Thurman Compton's going to get raised from his body's coming out of the grave, and it's going to be perfected, and I'm not going to have to live in this old wore-out thing for eternity. He's going to give me one like his. And he's going to give you one like his. Fashioned like unto his glorious body, perfect in every way. And we're going to be alive. We're never going to die. The Lord said that if we come to him, we're never going to die. You do not die, your body dies. And it goes back to the dirt until the Lord resurrects it. You go to be with him because you're a child of the King. What else? The doctrine of resurrection. Well, it's illustrated by Lazarus. I mean, there's a good illustration right there in John chapter 11. Let me read it to you. Jesus said unto her, this one, Mary and Martha was coming and saying, my brother's dead, and if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died, Lord. You could have kept him alive. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day, you see. Remember that definition we talked about? The two definitions that were in the script, in the dictionary? Well, even Martha and Mary, I don't know if they had dictionaries, but that's what they believe, that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. She said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. There's your promise, brothers and sisters. You ought to mark that up and memorize it and believe it and live by it and have peace by it. Yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town that was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit, and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, come, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. This thing about death, and the Lord seeing his creation dying before his eyes, saddens him. And it makes him groan in his spirit. That's God. Jesus Christ is God. And talking about death and people dying and seeing people cry over people that have died and Lazarus dying and his sisters mourning. caused Jesus to groan in his spirit and troubled him. And he cried over it too. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should have not died? Jesus therefore groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lift up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now wait a minute. Jesus commanded this man to come out of that grave, move that stone, and then commanded, thank the Father for hearing. And he said, I already know that you hear me, Lord. He said, but for the sakes of these people that are standing around here, I want to give them a little help in believing you. Lazarus, come forth. And it says that he that was dead came forth. Now, wait a minute. You're talking about a man that's wrapped up completely from head to toe like a mummy. He couldn't move his feet. He couldn't move his arms. He couldn't move his head. He couldn't move nothing. Now, listen to what the Bible says. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with the grave clothes. However he come out of that door of that grave, he was still bound with his grave clothes, and he couldn't move his hands and his feet. I don't know whether he was levitating out of there or what. The Bible doesn't say, but it says he was bound hand and feet. And just in case for all the people that, all the doubters out there that say, well, he must have dropped them off on the way out or something. Jesus didn't tell them to take the grave clothes off of him until after he come out. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Why would Jesus say loose him if he was loosed already? He wasn't loosed. Jesus commanded that man to come back alive and his body to come back alive and for him to come out of there. And when he came out, he was still wrapped up. He must have floated out of there. Don't know. But talking about the doctrine of resurrection. Is there a resurrection? You better believe there is. It's looked for in faith. We've seen that in Job. Job didn't have no Bible, and he believed it. And he waited on it, and he depended on it, and he looked forward to it. And still is. It is taught in the Old Testament. It's denied by some and believed by others and argued about in courtrooms and everywhere else and this, that, and the other. If it wasn't important, if it wasn't, why do hot shots and political people and great big the Pharisaical and Sadduceical and all the hierarchies of religiousality and all blah 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 and everybody, why they get up there and argue about the resurrection? If there ain't a resurrection, there ain't nothing to talk about. It's affirmed by Christ. That's the whole reason for us to stop right there. Christ said it is. That settles it. We believe it. because Christ says so. And he wrote it down, and we're reading it right in front of our faces right now. He affirmed the resurrection, a resurrection, your resurrection, and even gave detail out of his own breath, out of his own mouth, why he was here in the body. God. The doctrine of resurrection is illustrated by Lazarus coming forth. What else? Well, it's explained away by false teachers. You can believe that. There's always a devil's crowd going to stand around and, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And what about, well, what about, what about, what about? Questions and endless genealogies, endless fables and endless genealogies which minister questions. That's what false teachers like. They like to speak words that raise up more questions, more questions. Well, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, what about this? It's explained away by false teachers. Look what 2 Timothy says in chapter 2 and verse 16 through 18. It says, but shun, you know what shun means? But shun profane and vain babblings. For they will increase into more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. There's people doing that this very hour, teaching some of that craziness. Yeah. The Lord said to shun it, but shun profane and vain and what do you call it? I mean, that wasn't a real Christ. That wasn't a real Christian thing to say there. Paul, that wasn't Christ-like, calling people's conversation vain babblings. Babbling. It's just yappity-yappity-yappity-yap. Ain't got nothing to do with Bible doctrine and what does Christ say and what does the Bible say. Just running off at the mouth. False teachers when it comes to the doctrine of resurrection. Don't listen to it. Shun it. Believe the book. Believe your Lord. What else? The doctrine of resurrection. Well, it's questioned by some. It's not only explained away by false teachers, but it's questioned by some. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Why are you even talking about it? Why is it a subject? If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how is it among you that there, how is it that some say among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? Why are you even talking about it? Why is that a subject? If Christ says that there is a resurrection, if he be preached that he rose from the dead, why are there people saying that there's no resurrection of the dead? Vain babbling. Profane and vain babbling. And people, even in Christianity today, Christians have no, well, how do you want to put it? They have no integrity anymore when it comes to the Scriptures. They sacrifice their integrity of the Scriptures for whatever their vanity is, their being looked up to as doctor such and such, or having a big bank account, or whatever it might be, whatever the devil can offer you, are willing to talk about things like that. Well, concerning the resurrection of the dead, well, you know, in the originals. What's that got to do with anything? Now, if Christ be preached, he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? because it's doctrinal and it's scriptural and it's Bible, and we should believe it and be believing in it and not doubting it. And, of course, there are those that are going to question something. If the Bible says it and nails it down and it's doctrine, don't let anybody swerve your thinking. Anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Because it's going to happen. They're going to be the ones that are fools. They're going to stand before God and the Lord. The Lord's going to ask them, why'd you bring up a question about resurrection and trip all them people? You know how many people you caused to doubt me because you opened your babbling mouth, your vain, babbling, profane mouth, and talking about resurrection, that there might and there might not be, or this and that and the other, and blah, 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 and casting doubt upon my word, and all these young Christians trying to learn the word of God, and you causing them to doubt. They ain't going to get away with it. But it is questioned by some. What else? Talking about the doctrine of resurrection. It's mocked by the heathen. It's mocked by the heathen. Y'all see some of the rock and roll albums. Even, you say resurrection? Yeah. There's some rock and roll bands that sing about resurrection and blaspheme it and all kinds of stuff. Don't you know that? It's mocked by the heathen. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 32 says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. No, resurrection of the dead, I'm going to get a drink. You better. You're going to need it. Mocked by the heathen. All hell-bound sinners will mock it. All blasphemers will mock it. Raised from the dead? Well, show me somebody raised from the dead. Show me somebody come out of the grave. Go ahead, show me. Let's go down to the graveyard and see somebody come out of the dead. Mocking, 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 mocking. But when their eyes behold it, you talk about shaking in their skin. When they stand and see Jesus Christ himself, people think this old lovey-dovey God sitting up there with a bunch of donuts and can't wait to give somebody a hug and a warm fuzzy and a kiss and a hug. When they stand before the real God and the real Son of God, Christ Jesus, and they stand before him, they're going to shake in their skin. It's mocked by the heathen, resurrection. The doctrine is mocked. Yes, it is. So don't be surprised when you hear people running that hole in their face and using it to mock God's word and mock the resurrection. What else about the doctrine of the resurrection? Well, it was and is proclaimed by Paul the Apostle. Paul said, in the New Testament, Job said in the Old Testament, the Pharisees and the Sadducees argued about it. Christ himself said that he was going to do it and was raised from the dead, and that he was going to raise himself from the dead, and he's going to raise everybody that believes in him from the dead. But Paul said and proclaimed that there's a resurrection, that there is a doctrine of resurrection, and that there is a resurrection. In Acts chapter 24 and verse, 14 and 15, the Bible says, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things, get this, which are written in the law and in the prophets. Paul believed his Bible. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Paul said there's going to be one. Is he a liar? He said that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Paul said it. There wasn't a doubt in his mind or in his mouth when he said that. And there shouldn't be a doubt in our mind and in our mouth. The doctrine of resurrection is real. It is valid. It is from way back in the Old Testament, all the way back to Job. Moses and Elijah standing before Paul and John and Peter standing before with the Lord Jesus Christ at the Transfiguration and seeing two dead men standing there. There's no lack of evidence and lack of assurity concerning the doctrine of resurrection. Brothers and sisters, don't let anybody sway you concerning this matter. You're coming out of that dirt. Your body's coming out of that dirt. Everybody's is. So there we go. The doctrine of resurrection. We're talking about resurrection. That's our study. That's our subject. We talked about seven different resurrections in the scriptures that it describes, and today we talked about the doctrine of resurrection. Is it real? Is it established? Is it denied? Is it taught? Is it looked at? I mean, is it something that we believe in by faith? Is it affirmed by Christ? Did Christ talk about it? Is it illustrated by anybody? Lazarus coming from the dead, perhaps? Do the false teachers, now one way you can tell that something usually is doctrinal is because there's always going to be the devil's side trying to get in on it. False teachers, and it's questioned by some and even mocked by some. And what about the New Testament apostle? Did any apostles bring up the resurrection in the New Testament? Why, yes, they did. No reason for you to doubt that resurrection. Resurrection is real. Resurrection is going to happen. Believe it. Look forward to it. Put your trust in it. And be at peace about it. And let's learn some more. And that's what we'll do, the Lord willing. Amen. The next study we're going to... Let me give you these scriptures now for today's study. If you got your pencils handy there. I'll give you these and you can go back over them and read them for yourself. I know I was coughing and hacking and everything else today. I'm sorry about that. But the doctrine of resurrection, brothers and sisters, don't let anybody persuade you or to make you doubt concerning whether or not it is a valid truth in the scriptures, because it is. It is. Therefore, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, you know what he said? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, while we're in this body and then we die and our bodies go to the grave, and that's it, that's it. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, you know what he said the conclusion should be? We are of all men most miserable. If this is all we got to look forward to, and there is no resurrection, and there is no promises, and there is no hope of the resurrection, of the doctrine of resurrection of the dead, from the dead, then anything goes. And it is. I'm glad I got hope. I'm going all the way to the end, aren't you? Here's your scriptures for today. Job chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, and verse 13. Matthew chapter 22, verse 23 through 32. Acts chapter 23, verse 6 through 8. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. John chapter 6, verse 39 through 44. John chapter 11, verse 23 through 44. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. 1 Timothy chapter 15, verse 12. Acts chapter 17, verse 32. Acts chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. And there are your verses for today. On the doctrine of resurrection, the doctrine of resurrection, I believe God, don't you, brothers and sisters? I know you do. Let's go believing. Let's continue to believe. Don't let anybody sway you from that. And I look forward to talking with you again and studying with you again. I'm sorry about my, I'll try to do something about my coughing and all that mess, but just bear with me. That's, like I said, there's no makeup, there's no falsehood and no theatrical stuff in these lessons. This is what you get. Little old me, coughing and all that hacking and everything. But you know what? I praise the Lord and I give glory to God to let me even speak His word and let me even talk and let me sit down here with y'all and go over God's precious word and that it would help you and encourage you and edify you and perfect you for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are edified and perfected, and our work for the Lord is perfected through our study of God's Word and our fellowship around His Word. Amen. All right. Well, the Lord bless you. And we're going to come back again after this. So we talked about the doctrine of resurrection. The next one we're going to talk about how resurrection is accomplished. How resurrection is accomplished. The Bible talk about that? Yes, it does. It does. And it also talks about proof resurrection is based upon. What proof? You mean we got proof in the Scriptures that resurrection, that we can base resurrection on? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. God's Word Himself, but there's evidence that the Lord's given us in His Word that proves it. Praise His wonderful name. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I've enjoyed fellowshipping with you around God's Word today, brothers and sisters. Don't you quit. Don't you ever, ever quit. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.